book of Philippians. We're still in chapter 1. We'll read from verse 12 on through verse 30 of Philippians 1 tonight. We'll look into a few thoughts that are in this particular section. There's two major divisions that we'll be looking at. We'll see Paul's victory in bonds in verses 12 through 20. And then from verse 21 on through verse 30, we'll see life and death choices. I remind you that the book of Philippians is written with a touch and the flavor of a friend conversing with a friend. That does not mean that this book is not doctrinal nor important. But Paul writes to these folks with a tenderness that he would not necessarily write like he did to the Corinthian church, a correctional letter. He wrote very sternly and very boldly to them, but he writes in this particular case with a tender heart and a great love for the folks of Philippi. And he wants to encourage them. And to, as an old South Carolina preacher said years ago, on a Wednesday morning while I was in Bible college, Carol Seitler walked in that old southern drawl. He said, "I just want to be a blessing to you today." What a blessing he proved to be as he expounded the Word of God to us there in the chapel in Arlington Baptist College. And I believe Paul has that same spirit about him as he writes this letter to the Philippian church, that he wants just to be a blessing to them, to encourage them. And there are some things here in these verses that we'll read tonight that'll be a blessing to you when you get a hold of it. So let's begin with verse 12 and read on through verse 30. "I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I ought not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now hear to be in me." Well, there's some things here that I want us to see tonight, Paul being bound, yet he points out that there is a victory in his bonds. The things that he suffered, it did have a purpose and was bringing forth fruit. Even though he himself was physically restrained, the work of God was going on and God was being glorified in the sense that there were many that prior to this had been rather timid about their faith. They had been reserved about going out and preaching. But now they were bold because they saw that there were men that were willing to live at great price for the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly we see in this that as Paul in his bonds is certainly seen in victory, his faith, his desire, his endurance is made known in the palace and other places. In other words, this is something that was talked about and no doubt was rehearsed one with another, and it brought forth fruit in lives. And as this particular testimony would encourage the brethren to witness boldly, then we see that Christ is preached. Now, certainly in the text, Paul points out that there are some that preach Christ in love. There are also some that preach the gospel insincerely, hoping to add affliction to Paul, but yet he points out that whether in pretense or in truth, the gospel is preached. I believe tonight that we could look through the history of the lives of men of God, and we'd find that many of them, at a particular point in their life, were not preaching sincerely. They might have been endeavoring under a false premise to work their way to heaven, but yet as they preached, there were souls that are saved. You ask me, is that possible? Yes, it's possible, because God's word is not bound. God's word is never imprisoned, and the Spirit of God is never restrained as far as reaching out. And Paul rejoices because whether in pretense or in truth, the gospel is preached. Either way, Christ is being preached. And so we see then that there is victory even in his bonds, that God is working something that many meant to be detrimental and harmful to him, yet he's turning to his glory. Isn't it strange how that as opposition sometimes comes, that God will turn that opposition and make them tell the truth anyway? Pharaoh, a man named Balaam, wanted to, in the worst way in the world, to curse Israel. He knew that Balak would probably keep his word and give him a house full of gold if he would just curse Israel. And he approached it from every angle, but he always came back to this premise. What God has blessed, we can't curse. And I believe tonight that God has blessed his gospel. And it's not as dependent upon the carrier as it is dependent upon the gospel itself and the power of God that abides in hearts. Now, I'm not recommending that lost folks go out and preach. But on the other hand, if a lost preacher stands and he preaches even just the word of the gospel, God can take his word with his power in the presence of the Spirit of God and works. There's victory, Paul said, in my bond. He said, there's some of these folks that are not, they're not sincere. But he said, they think they're hurting me. But he said, they're really not. Because my Lord is glorified in every message that's preached that presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, he went on to encourage them. And I think he gives us the formula for encouraging the saints of God, as he went on to say that it's come down to this, that whether I live or whether I die, God will be glorified. He'll be glorified by my life, whether it's in life or in death. He said, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what shall I choose? I wot not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Let me say that it takes real faith to say that. We sometimes might want to parrot that, but the truth is it has to be in our hearts and in our lives to be able to say that. And Paul said this with sincerity to a people that he loved, that it's a better choice to depart and to be with Christ. Now, we're talking about in this latter portion now life and death choices, and he said, I'm in a strait. He had a great desire for this people. I want you to see in this, knowing that it would be better if he were at home with the Lord, he's willing to abide there for the sake of these people. Now, again, that demonstrates great love. It took great faith to say that whether I live or whether I die, to live is Christ, to die is gain, to know that if I depart this life, it's far better. Yet, for your sakes, I'm willing to abide and to preach the gospel. And I believe that ought to be the desire of every man that ever stands in the place of the privilege of preaching the gospel, that he would desire to be there for the sake of those that are before him and love them with that particular love. We have a lot of folks that can preach with bitterness and harshness and judgment, but Paul loved this people. And he said, I'll abide in this body. And he said, God's going to be glorified in it because I want to be delivered to you again. And so he goes on, but I present to you, certainly to live is Christ, to die is gain, but to remain is needful. And tonight, the same is true of us. To live is Christ, to die is gain. But there's a need tonight that at least some of us abide and remain that the gospel might be carried forth and that folks might be encouraged and blessed as we look into this. To teach, to enjoy salvation to these folks, even through great trial. He admonished them to Christian growth. That certainly they were to enjoy that salvation that was wrought and paid for through Jesus Christ. And not to be disheartened or dissuaded otherwise, because there would be a time that he would depart this life. And he would hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. We will not take any more time tonight with the lesson. I hope you've been encouraged enough to want to pray. Ask God to bless in hearts and lives.